So we're about to begin the keynote, so there are a lot of keynotes for Tisha B'Av. So everyone will go through some of them, many of them. Everyone could go at their own pace. We finished a portion of davening, so you don't have, it's not a matter of reading all the words here. Better to do less keynotes and know what you're reading than to read all the keynotes and not understand the words. So there's plenty, we have plenty of good explanations in the keynotes we have. So you could go along with our pace, you could do your own pace. I'll be speaking, you know, intermittently. I'll just give a little introduction to keynotes and Tisha B'Av in general. And I'll talk more about, you know, thoughts on Tisha B'Av and general as opposed to maybe specific keynotes. We'll see how it goes. So this does, just a little history. So we know we have one biblical fast day, that's Yom Kippur. But the other four fast days are from the prophets. And that was and it's corresponding to the destruction of the temple. So when it came to the first temple, so it began on Asara B'Tevis when it was when Nebuchadnezzar began the siege of Yerushalayim, and then on Yud Zayin Tammuz, or perhaps Tes Tammuz, but Yud Zayin Tammuz, they went ahead and they knocked down the siege of the walls. Ultimately, we know what happened on Tisha B'Av. The temple was destroyed. And then we have Tzom Gedaliah. We have a fast day. Tzom Gedaliah was killed. We have many great tzaddikim who were killed. Why did Gedaliah get his own fast day? Because he remained afterwards. He was the last emperor of Jewish sovereignty left in Eretz Yisrael. And when Gedaliah was killed, it was officially over anyway with the Beis HaMikdash, but that was the final blow, and that's why Gedaliah represents, that was the end of any Jewish type of sovereignty there. And then, so after the destruction, so we went to 70 years of Golus, and therefore all these days, that's when they became fast days. When the temple was up, they were happy days, and then the 70 years, we observed these days as fast days, and then when we rebuilt the Bayis Sheni, so therefore, they became holidays. Like Tisha B'Av could be a discussion. We'll get into what they did during Bayis Sheni on Tisha B'Av, a debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim. But those days became fast days, and therefore, those days became holidays. And then after the Churban HaBayis, the same thing. A lot of the days are still from Bayis Rishon. That's why there's a debate in the Bavli whether it could be the first year. It was the ninth of Tammuz. That was the year they started the breaking of the walls, and it was Yud Zayin Tammuz on the second one. That's why, since it's more recent, so we go with Yud Zayin Tammuz. But that's the history how we got here. So throughout the keynotes, we're going to find crying over Yerushalayim, a parable to a widow, someone who just lost a husband, and the crying at Yerushalayim. So that's the parable the commentators give is. There was a husband and a wife, and they're happily married, they had many children, and then suddenly the husband died. And the wife, the mother, she felt like crying and doing a lot of other things, but she realized she had the kids to take care of, so she had to put on a strong face in front of the kids. Maybe when she went back to her room, she cried, but she basically held it in, and the more she held it in, the more painful it became. You won't need to cry, and you're not crying. And finally, on the anniversary, on the yahrzeit of the husband/father's death, she brought the kids together and said, "Today is the day of the tragic death of our father. Let's all cry together." And that's what Tisha B'Av is. All year round, we hold back. We have to be strong. We've gone through so many terrible sufferings throughout Jewish history. The pogroms, Holocaust, Crusades. And we taught ourselves the only way to survive is not to cry. If we're busy crying, we'll be killed again. So therefore, we hold back and we don't cry. Yet, as much as our brain tells us on Tisha B'Av, this is the anniversary, this is the yahrzeit, it's still very difficult to cry. And why is that? Because as Chazal tell us, one who calculates when the Mashiach comes, as a strong lesson, they will not be zocher to greet and meet the Mashiach. Why, what's so terrible about calculating when the Mashiach's coming? So, I guess in certain senses it might be good, but here they find it a negative. And the commentators explain it's because If you're yearning for the Mashiach, if you're praying for the Mashiach, that's something in you. That's emotional. It's inside you. But if you're doing some intellectual curiosity, and it's outside of you. When a tzara happens to a stranger, we might feel bad, but it's all intellectual. We think about what should happen. If it happens to our brother or our sister or family member, it hits us right in the heart. It becomes real. And the avoda on Tisha B'Av is, you know, all year round, we hear about all the, unfortunately, we still hear about them, the synagogue shootings, everything else. But the avoda on Tisha B'Av is try to internalize them and try to learn from it. They say the ma'isa with one of, I'm sure many Hasidish or Rebbeim, one was, someone came to him, it was a husband and wife, and unfortunately they couldn't have any children, so they went to the Rebbe for a bracha. So the Rebbe said, sorry, there's a gzeira min hashamayim, a decree from heaven, you can't have kids, I can't do anything for you. And they left out very, upset. And then the next day, he's knocking on the door. So they said, like, what are you doing? You told me you can't help. He said, yeah, I can't help, but I could feel your pain. I could cry with you. I came over to cry with you. That's what Tisha B'Av is all about. In fact, that's what the Vilna Gaon explains, that we know the Gemaras tell us that for the Churban HaBayis, for the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of the three cardinal sins one has to give up their life for. Not to worship idols, not to commit adultery, not to murder someone. And the second temple we'll get into more, but it was because of sinas chinam, unwarranted hatred. And yet we find that after the first Beis HaMikdash, it only took 70 years to go back to start rebuilding it. And for the sinas chinam, unwarranted hatred was still waiting. So therefore, the Vilna Gaon says, what's the difference? Because no matter how bad the three cardinal sins are, but still a person could get caught up in a culture, and you could be basically a good person, but you get caught up in the culture, the society, whatever it may be, and you start like the Drasha Saran writes, why did Abraham want to find someone from his hometown? Because even though everyone worshipped idols, but to a certain sense, idols is external to you. Someone who has good midos, that you can't, as Rabbi Yisrael Salanto always used to say, it's harder to finish shas, to finish all the Talmud, than it is to change one bad midah. It's not because it's easy to finish shas. It's hard, it's just much harder to change one. That's more internal. So the Gros says, you know what the problem was in the Baal Yesheni? There was hate. And when there's hate, that's internal, and that was, and the Kaddish Baruch had no more tolerance. And therefore, that's what Tisha B'Av is. It's the yort side where all year round we intellectualize and into all these terrible tragedies, and hopefully, you know, it doesn't mean you don't have to be crying, bawling with tears. It could be an inner cry. You know, we have to try to feel a little bit on Tisha B'Av. So we'll go through. We'll stop. We could begin. I guess everyone has a different page, so we could start saying the keynotes, and I'll just speak a little bit in between. You could continue on in doing keynotes. You could read or you could listen. Shabbos, Mitzvah, Menorah, Shemuyah. So in the art scroll, it's 158 in the art scroll one. And I'm not sure whoever's using this could announce the page. The other one.